Jesus, the name above fear. In the name of Jesus, fear, you have no place here. Fear, you have no place in the lives of the people, and we give you no place. You bow your knee to the name of Jesus, to the name above every name. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father, for the name of Jesus and that we are in that name. Hallelujah. If you agree this morning, say amen. Glory to God. You may greet one another this morning. Praise the Lord. Welcome to those of you online. It's such a blessing to be here in the presence of the Lord. Thank you for being with us and joining us, whatever time of day or night it is. And we'd love to have you come visit us sometime. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. I hope you're staying warm wherever you're at this morning. Glory to God. I know there's several church services canceled across the U.S. this morning, but we're here. Hallelujah. We're the real warriors here this morning. Praise God. So thank you for coming. We came because we're expecting a word from God. We came because we're expecting to hear from him, to have a move of God in our lives, to be refreshed in his presence. We're hungry for what he has for us. Praise God. And he honors that. In Samuel, the Bible says that those who honor me, I will honor. And so we've honored him this morning by coming to church together. And that means a lot to the Father. Amen. So we're here. We pray safe travels over those traveling this morning, over those of you out there. We pray that everyone's coming and going is blessed. Amen. If it's your first time, our website is blfc.church. You can find out more about us. All of our sermons are there, our audio, our video, where we're at, what we're doing. We're on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Rumble, with more outlets on the way. So subscribe, follow, like, and share. A lot of people get their information off social media and YouTube, and so we're thankful to get to be there. Also, Sunday's doors open at 9, and pre-service prayers from 9:20 to 9:40, and service starts at 10, so come early for coffee, for fellowship. And we wanted to let you know we have our church cards that came with our new address, and so it has our information on there, our contact information, so they're over there by the door, and feel free to take a little pile with you and invite someone to church. This is a great opportunity, a great tool to use to say, hey, you know, like we said last week, people are just waiting to get invited. I shared about the lady who wanted to go to church and nobody invited her until finally someone said, would you like to go to church with me? And that's the church she's going to now. And so please feel free to take some over there. Let's see. Also, I have here, we started this last week, the petition to amend the Nebraska Constitution to recognize the personhood of pre-born children. I have several for each county. And so if we can get those signed and it's going to be on the ballot, we're believing it will be on the ballot this November. We need 165,000 signatures for this to be possible to ban abortion in Nebraska. Amen. Praise God. So we are going for that. And so I'll be over there after service. I have to be standing there. I can't leave this there by itself. And so so as we're signing, I'll be over there so we can do that together. Also, Friday prayer will be at our house from 9 to 10 this Friday. And then Wednesday, we will not be having a midweek service this Wednesday. We're going to be, it's going to be this week working on getting our new cameras installed. And so Pastor and whoever will be here getting the media set up and all of that midweek and getting that going. And so we're excited about that. And also this Saturday, the 31st, we will be at the Lake Ogallala Eagle Viewing. And so we want to invite all of you to come out and join us. We're going to be out there by 8:30 that morning. We'll be there a little past 9:30, but it's beautiful. We went the last couple years. There's eagles everywhere. Maybe with this weather, we'll have some. They like the ice. They like the cold weather, and they like the early morning. And so I think last year we went a little later than the year before Did you have something you wanted to
yes,
say?
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah. So it's a fun time. So out there, there's we're not out in the cold. There's a nice building that we're all inside. There's coffee and restrooms, and there's a lot of different spotting scopes and binoculars. Feel free to bring your own. We will. But there's plenty and lots of viewing. So there's not just eagles. There's other birds out there as well. It's just a fun time. So this is, I know normally when we've gone out there, there's generally about 100 eagles, you know, right here nearby that you can spot. They'll be over there fishing, you know, stuff like that. So it's really, really neat. You know, coming from Texas, you might see an eagle here or there, but I was just blown away when I was like, wow, there's like 100 of them at one point in time, you know, all gathered together. So it's just a really unique thing. But yeah, we'll gather out there for just a little bit. But
yeah, we can think about how the Lord renews our youth like the eagles while we're out there. Praise God.
You do not need a park pass. So normally to enter into that, you do need a Nebraska park pass, which is like $30 for the year. But for the eagle viewing, you do not need a pass. You can just come on in. It's free. During that time. Yes. Amen. Good question.
While you're up here, would you like to share about the chair?
I sure would. So Pastor Paula and I, we went to the ministers conference in Fort Worth, Texas last week, and that was just an awesome time of being refreshed, just sitting under the word all day long. And of course, we got to make some connections there as well and see some partners of ours and just, you know, minister and love on them as well. But while we were there, we flew in, we drove to Denver Monday morning, and then we flew from Denver to the DFW. But as soon as we landed, we got the rental car, and then we drove up to Gainesville, which is about an hour north of there. And I've been driving by this place for decades, you know, just growing up there. And as you know, we have the sample chair from another manufacturer, but we definitely want to, you know, do some due diligence and shop around and see. And we were very pleased with what we found there. The quality is excellent, which this is also a really nice quality as well. But the foam in this one has more foam and it's higher quality foam. And the lumbar was also a little bit nicer. And then we found a chair there. It's a nice foam, nice lumbar, but it also has a slight curve in the back, just a slight. We're just kind of, you know, I know some of these chairs in here have a little bit of that, just kind of cradles you in nice there. And it was a really nice feel. As far as the fabric goes, it's actually the exact same fabric as this other chair. It's one of their stocks. So again, both of the companies, wherever they're sourcing this from, they're using the same, and it is a stock fabric because it is a one that most folks tended to go with anyway. So these chairs are something that we're looking at purchasing for the church. Now, being said, we had looked at from the other company about getting them shipped from Florida. However, the shipping is a little bit expensive. But with this being in just outside of Fort Worth, what I'm planning to do, so we're going to sow the seed of we're going to take my pickup truck and I'm going to drive down to Texas. It's 1500 miles round trip, but I'm going to go down there and we're going to rent a little trailer. We're going to load them up and I'll drive down there and I'll bring them back and pastors will pay for all the gas and all that. So that'll be our seat with the chairs. we want to go ahead and order 42 chairs. These chairs are going to run $87 a piece. Overall, it was a really good value. For example, those chairs coming out of Florida with shipping, we're going to run us $80 a piece. There was a chair that they had that was a step above that. And then this Ovation is just another little step above that. But being that I'm going to go get the chairs, it kind of keeps the price pretty similar, but it's a lot better chair. And in the long run, we'll be very thankful that we got the better chairs.
Because these are going to last, you know, past 20 years. I mean, they just keep going and we can order more. So that was something. I know you mentioned that before, but it's not in 5 years we need new chairs.
No.
This is going to be a...
Until Jesus comes, purchase.
Yeah, amen. Jesus will come by then.
Amen. So we just wanted to let you guys know that this is what we found. I think we'll all be well pleased with these, as you're the ones that are going to be sitting in them, in the time to come. But with that, I want to encourage us, to, again, these chairs are $87 a piece. And I want to invite you in the building fund. Just pray about what the Lord would have you do. But I want to ask you, as a faith project, that we all, you know, and those of us, and I know those of you watching will be later on today or tomorrow who couldn't make it here today, but believe God for the $87 for your chair. But also, I want to encourage you to pay it forward. So again, the gospel has always been paid forward. So again, we're here today because somebody told us about Jesus. Somebody provided a church building. Somebody, you know, as we were coming up. So I want to invite you, you know, to sponsor a chair for yourself, but sponsor a chair or two or three for somebody else. You know, so however the Lord would lead you in that. And again, you don't have to have the whole $87 here today or next week. But if you don't have it, ask God, Father, how many chairs would you have me sow into the church? Would it be one, two, three, four, five, you know, whatever it might be, and whatever he says, do. Now, again, you don't have to have the whole, you know, two chair or three chair amount, but, you know, Father, I have $20 today, and I know I heard from you to sow three chairs. So by faith, I'm believing for the rest of this money to come in, and as you cause it to come over into my hand, I'll put it towards that project. And now, why are we doing it this way? Because the Lord told me to do it this way. He said that we have to have faith projects because there's a lot of other things that we're going to be believing God for in the days to come beyond just a chair project. Well, again, should the Lord tarry his coming, we're going to believe God for a bigger space and eventually a building of our own. And with all things, God never asks you to go out and get a second job to try to make ends meet. He says, no, come to me in faith. Come to me in faith. I will cause you to money to come over into your hands. You know, when we're seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he said all these things, they'll be added to us. No toil in it. Amen. Praise God. So I just want to, again, after church, I'll have this and we can come. If you got questions, we can talk about it a little bit more.
Yeah. But
praise God.
Praise God. So it's offering time. Glory to God. And this morning, 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 through 7. So this is about getting something to you, not from you. This is an example, what I'm about to read, of seed time and harvest and how it works. In order to have a harvest, we must sow a seed. You know, there's laws that God put out there, laws of gravity, for example. We can't just go up on the roof here and just step off and we're going to keep walking. That'd be a supernatural thing. And one day, so be it. But here today on this earth, amen, hallelujah, time's another thing. I was thinking about time. He gave us time for right now on earth. And sometimes that's one of our biggest challenges, not to get moved by time. I've been waiting and waiting and waiting for this, right? But if we continue to be faithful, if we continue to believe God, what better do we have to do, right? If we give up, then what? We're not quitters here, amen? So there's time, but we can't let time be a factor. We are seated with him in heavenly places. In heavenly places, there is no time. So he's allowed us by our spirit to even dominate the time factor. And so according to 2 Kings chapter 4, I'm going to read verse 1 through 7. It says, now the wife of the son of prophets cried to Elisha, your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord. But the creditor has come to take my two sons to be his slaves. I just thought about that, like the enemy is always coming to try to take us to be his slaves. But we're not going to go there, right? Elijah said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what have you the sale value of in your house? She said, your handmaid has nothing in the house except a jar of oil. Then he said, go around and borrow vessels from your neighbors, empty vessels, and not a few. And when you come in, shut the door upon you and your sons. Then pour out the oil you have into all those vessels, setting aside each one when it's full. So she went from him and shut the door upon herself and her sons, who brought to her the vessels as she poured the oil. Verse 6, when the vessels were all full, she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is not one left. Then the oil stopped multiplying. Verse 7, then she came and told the man of God. He said, go sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons live on the rest. Glory to God. Can you say supernatural increase? Hallelujah. Praise God. So there's a few key aspects to this miracle right here. First of all, what are you expecting? In other words, what are you believing God for? And that's part of what Pastor Rodney's talking about, the chairs. This is exercising our faith. This isn't necessarily, I'm just getting in my wallet and plunking, you know, $87 or whatever it is into the offering. No, this is a faith project. We're using our faith. When we use our faith, it stretches us. When we sow a seed, it causes us to increase. Number two, what do you have? Okay. You see, we all have something we can give somebody or something we can give. A lot of times people say they don't have anything to give, or they're waiting until they can do this big thing, this big amount, or this big thing for something. But here, Elijah asked her, what do you have? And she just had a little jar of oil. She had something. We all have something. Maybe it's just sending somebody a card in the mail. Maybe it's a shirt or something we're not using anymore, but it's just sitting around our house and we are realize, okay, somebody could use this. Or maybe it's a dollar. I don't have, or some change. You know what I'm saying? So there's something that we have, because we see what happens when she brought that jar of oil, but not just bringing the jar of oil. He also gave her an instruction. So part three, what is the instruction the Lord's telling you? He actually said to her, he said, go get vessels from your neighbors. But then the key here, he said, not a few. And you notice later when they were pouring the oil and it kept multiplying and she'd fill up one vessel, then she'd fill up another vessel, then she'd fill up another vessel. But when the vessels were no more, there was nothing more to pour. So it ran out. Think if she would have got 10 more vessels, 20 more vessels, you know, gone to a few extra neighbor's house. So when God says not a few, when he gives us an instruction, let's go as far as we can. Let's go all the way, because she would have continued to get more, but it completely paid the debt. And then she had whatever she needed to live on. So that was the instruction. And then number five, all her needs were taken care of. So this is a miracle that God provided. He gives us an instruction. So that's why we talk about seeking him on purpose. He'll give us something to do. It may not make sense, right? But whatever he says to you, do it. In Psalm 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd. Psalm 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. Other versions say, I shall not want. I shall not be in need. And we share these offering messages with you so our faith can grow and we can have an understanding of the way things operate. The Bible lays it out. There are several examples of how these things work. And this is another one of them, one of my favorite ones. Praise God. And so this morning, as we're sowing our seed, if you're sowing cash or card, if you just fill out the offering envelope that's under your seat or under the seat in front of you, fill out your address and your name for card or cash. If you're writing a check, please write it to BLFC. If you're giving online, your information's on the screen. And let's say our offering confessions. The blessing is working in us, on us, and for us. The Lord is increasing us more and more, us and our children. And I just pray right now over children, over each one of our children, those that have been led astray, those children that have even separated themselves from parents, and those children that need to honor their parents more and more to restore those relationships. Father, we just pray right now for those here and those watching for restoration between parents and children. Father, that the latter years are the sweetest years, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. And you may pass the offering basket, which I need to probably go get it.
Hallelujah to Jesus. Uh-huh. Thank you, Father, for the word. Amen. It's just so good to be here today in the house of the Lord. Hey, man, I know it's cold outside, but you made it. Amen. Hallelujah. And we're here on purpose for kingdom purpose. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to open in a word of prayer. We're going to get into today's message. But Father God, we thank you. We thank you for the precious living word that abides in each one of us. And Lord, we receive as we come to you in faith, expecting that that word is becoming alive in us. We receive greater revelation. And with that, we receive greater manifestations and demonstrations of Holy Spirit, the word, the truth itself coming to pass in our lives. We thank you for answered prayers. We thank you for the healing of our bodies. We thank you for the healing of our souls, healing in our relationships, restoration and wholeness in our finances. And Father, we thank you for it today. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Well, if you have your Bible with you, your hard copy, soft copy, there at home, do the same thing. Get your Bible, hold it up big, and declare, "This is my Bible. The living word of God. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do everything it says I can do, and I will do it in Jesus' name." Amen. Praise God in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. The name above all names. Jesus, the name above all names. Jesus said in John 14, "Whatever you ask the Father in my name, I will do it." Period. I'll do it. That's what I'm here for. That's what the word is here for. Amen. Whatever you ask in my name. So the name of Jesus is not a lucky rabbit's foot. It's not some token. No, it's the name above all names. It's the greatest name. This name is higher than any other name in this realm, in heaven itself. He said, even in the ages to come, the name of Jesus. It has all power. It has all authority. Jesus has already defeated death, hell, and the grave. In my name. In my name, now you go. The Great Commission. Go into all the world, preach the gospel, preach the good news. And now in my name, go cast out the devil, right? In my name, go lay hands on the sick. What's going to happen? They will recover. They will. He didn't put maybe, if, qualify, X, Y, Z, do, don't, none of that. He said, no, you go in my name, you preach the gospel, those who believe will be saved. You go cast out the devil, he will go. Again, when you go speak to something that's going on, that's demonic, and you tell that devil to get out of here, there's no battle. He has to go. He has to go. You stand your ground. He has to go. This isn't, well, maybe I'm going to fight. We're going to slug it out. Maybe he wins this round. Maybe I win. No, no, I've already won. See, that's the whole thing. I'm not having to fight the battle. The word's already fought the battle. The word's already won, and I'm just standing on the word. Ha, ha, ha. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Ha, ha. Jesus said, be of good cheer. Why? I've already overcome. Now, in my name, you go, and the name will do whatever I did personally. So again, when I use the name, what really is happening in the realm of the spirit, Jesus is here manifesting himself, manifesting that victory that the word has already accomplished. He's there to back it. So he says, whatever you ask the Father in my name, I'll do it. Hallelujah to Jesus. That's not my message today. That's just a bonus. Praise God. I just believe the Lord wanted to share that with you this morning just to encourage us. Glory to God. But the subject today is faith. And we've been talking here for the last weeks now on the God kind of faith, right? The faith that gets results, the faith that moves mountains. Jesus said in Mark 9:23, all things are possible to who? Him who believes. Amen. Have faith in God. Mark 11:22, have faith in God. He says, now, if you have this God kind of faith, what happens in Mark 11:23? Well, I'm talking about it. Let's just turn over to it in our Bibles. Mark 11. Thank you, Jesus. Mark 11, 23. Have faith in God, for assuredly or truly or most certainly, he says, I'm saying to you, whoever. So again, if you're a whoever, raise your hand. Everybody, you're a whoever. That you qualify for this. You qualify for this. Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Have faith in God. Have faith. When he says have faith in God, or have the God kind of faith, have faith in the integrity of God's word. So again, we started 2 weeks ago sharing on the integrity of God's word. God's word is first and it's final authority. If you have that settled in your heart, now you have something that faith can build upon. But if and until you'll recognize that God's word is first, it's final authority, he has first say, he has final say. I know the bank says this. I know I have this feeling. I know the doctor gave this report. But I have a higher name. I have a higher report. I believe the report of the Lord, and I consider not these things. I consider this thing, the word of God. Have faith in his word. Have faith in the finished works of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If God said it, that settles it. If God said it, that settles it. There's nothing else to consider. There's nothing else to consider. Well, I have this feeling. So let me look on the internet here and look up, well, if I have this feeling, if I have this symptom, what could it be? Well, you know, 357,000 results pop up. You know, well, it's probably colon cancer. It's probably polyps. It's probably this, and it could be that. And, you know, and maybe you had that report, and now you're going home and you're looking up and, well, you know, all these symptoms and all that. Stop all that. I'm not considering these things. I'm opening up my Bible and I'm turning over here that says, by his stripes, I was healed. I consider the word. And now I'm meditating not on the polyps and not meditating on how big and how bad and how high that mountain is. I don't care how big that mountain is. What is a mountain upside of the power of God who created the mountain to begin with? Right? I consider not those things. I consider one thing, and I consider the word, because the word is my victory. The word is my life. Hallelujah to Jesus. Whoever says to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea. Get behind me, Satan. Away from me. We looked at that last week. Jesus took the word of God. It's written. It's written. And then the third time he says, we're done here. Get out of here. Get. I'm not going to put up with you all day and all night. All right? You've come, you said what you've had to say, enough. Get out. Silence. I'm not going to hear any more about it. It's written. Jesus stood on the word of God, and the word put the devil on the run. It works the same way. It didn't work because he's Jesus. It works because it's the word of God. It works because it's the word of God. It'll work for anybody, whoever, anytime, any place. That's what he said. Whoever, whoever. It doesn't matter who you are. Well, you know, Pastor, I missed it in my flesh, you know, and I did this and I did that. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. No, I'm not perfect in my flesh. Yes, we're all going to miss the mark here and there. Not that we're just out sinning, you know, but you know what I'm saying. You, in your flesh, you're going to have opportunity to miss it, and at times you're going to miss it. But I still qualify to be healed. I still qualify for salvation, right? Yeah. The blood of Jesus, you know, is still on the mercy seat. Just because you missed it this morning, Jesus didn't fall off the throne and say, oh no, what are we going to do now? The blood still speaks of righteousness. Amen. Now, if you've missed the mark, confess it, get rid of it, and get right back up and keep on walking with Jesus. But I'm still healed, I'm still saved, and I'm still blessed because the word's still alive and it's still active. So again, whoever will say to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says will come to pass, he'll have whatever he says. Do you believe the words that are coming out of your mouth? That's what we're talking about. We're going to see more about that here today. Mind renewal. Mind renewal. I'm not confessing the word. So a lot of times I've seen over the years, people will get caught up in their own faith. People get caught up in their own confession. And in their mind, they think that through their faith and through their confession, they're going to make the word come to pass. Doesn't work that way. I don't confess the word to try to make it come to pass. I don't confess the word to try to make it true. I confess the word because it is truth. And I don't have any other thing to say about it. And so what we're doing here is I renew my mind. I'm considering not those other things. I'm considering the one thing, and I'm renewing my mind. By his stripes I was healed. By his stripes I was healed. Well, if I was healed, what would I look like? What would I be doing right now? Well, I start seeing myself through the eyes of the word. I see myself the way God sees me, righteous. 1 Corinthians 15:34, Paul writes to the church at Corinth, and he says, awake to righteousness and do not sin, or sin not. What is he saying? You're going to go where you focus. If you will, you know, you're trying to act right, you're trying to do this, you're trying to do that. He's saying, stop focusing on not sinning. Focus on I'm the righteousness of God, and it will cause you to not sin. It'll cause you to act right. That principle applies to everything. If I will awaken unto healing, I'll start living healed. I'm not considering not being healed. I'm not considering not having my bills paid. I'm not considering any other thing. I'm considering truth. I consider truth. Now, as I'm meditating on that word and I'm not allowing anything else to come in and pollute my mind, you know, to pollute my spirit, man, what is happening? The revelation of my healing, faith is growing, faith is growing, faith is growing. We have it here. The foundation today is Romans chapter 10, verse 17. It says, so then, or consequently, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Hearing and hearing and hearing. This word hearing it's a verb. It's not a noun. It's not having heard once upon a time. Faith comes by hearing and hearing it 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 and not hearing the other things. James writes it over in James 1 verses 6, 7, 8. He says, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. He can expect to receive nothing from the Lord. So again, he's talking about a man who's going to church, maybe a man who's reading his Bible. Because again, the world's single-minded on the things of the world. So he's talking about a double-minded man who's got one foot in the world, one foot in the Word. He's hearing the Word, but he's considering the other. He's hearing, I'm healed by his stripes, oh, but my body. Oh, my, the Lord meets all of my needs, but hold that rent's due, and what am I going to do? He's considering both things. And he says, because you're not single-minded on the truth, that you're double-minded, and faith doesn't work like that. Faith is single-minded. I know what God says. I believe what God says. I'm receiving what God says. And as a result, there's no reason for any other thing to come out of my mouth. Because Jesus said, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. Well, whatever's coming out of my mouth is what I will possess, for better or worse, richer or poorer, sickness or health, right? Whatever comes out of your mouth. Proverbs 6:2, a man is snared by the words of his mouth. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Those who love it are going to eat the fruit of it. You decide. You are the establishing witness for life and health blessing or curse. You are. Not God, not Jesus, not me, not mama, you. You. You alone. What's coming out of your mouth? You know, we can all, again, we talk about this. This church can all get together and we can all pray for brother and sister so-and-so to be healed. But if brother and sister so-and-so are saying, well, you just never know what God will do. Well, you know, oh, this cancer. Oh, my arthritis. You're done. You're done. I can't outpray. Nobody can outpray you. You're the number one authority in your own life. And so, again, if and until you decide to agree with God and say what God says, now we can have a corporate faith and we can come together and believe God for your healing, but we all got to be in agreement, right? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Mind renewal. Mind renewal. Thank you, Jesus. Let's look here now. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 22 in our notes. I have three main points I want to share with you today. Number one is the word of God must be received, and we got to receive it in faith. Verse 20 says, my son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings, do not let them depart from your eyes, keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life. So his words are life. Again, we did this last week. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. I live by faith on every word. I live by faith on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You could also flip it on its head and say, you know what? I die by every word that this world produces, because there is the God of this world and he's got his own words and he knows how this works. He knows how it works, right? But we live on every word. He says, for they are life to those who find them and health to all of their flesh. So looking at this passage, this passage in particular is a blueprint, you know. So again, when you build a house, you don't just go build a house. You have a set of blueprints, you know, what this thing is going to look like. And if the builder will follow this blueprint, it's going to turn out exactly right. It's going to produce the desired finished product. So again, this is a roadmap. This is a blueprint for a word-governed life, a life where faith is strong, steady, and most importantly, effective. We want results. I want word results 100% of the time in my life. And if you'll follow this blueprint, you'll have it every single time. You take whatever the need is, whatever the situation is, you apply this blueprint to it, it'll work. It'll work. It'll work. Amen. Praise God. Every part of this is us honoring the word of God, making it first and final authority. So again, the word must be received. I want to unpack this a little bit. We see this in verse 20. My son, give attention. Give attention to my words. That word give attention is this word kashab. It means to lean in. All right, I'm going to lean into the word. It means to give undivided focus, undivided focus. So again, a double-minded man is unstable. He can expect to receive nothing. Say, that's not me. Undivided focus. So I'm looking at the word, and yes, there's this, there's that, there's the other. But you know what? By his stripes, I'm healed. I know this is true in my body. It's true. But I exalt truth. I'm not giving place to this. I'm giving my attention to the truth. If I'll stay with truth, truth will override what is true until it lines up. That's the word alive, active, and working. But I've got to give it place and allow that word to work, right? Give attention. So again, my undivided focus, it means to prioritize above all else. There's just one thing. there's just one thing to consider. The number one priority is, what does the word say? And for years and years and years, and thankfully, I came from a ministry and pastors who taught us this, and they drilled this into us. They drilled this into us. What does the word say? I don't care what it is. What does the word say? That's where we start. That's where we finish. Whatever your situation is, it's covered in Scripture. What does it say? Now you know what to say, you know what to think, you know how to respond to that situation every time. Is it under the curse? Well, it's under the curse and I'm redeemed from it, right? Whatever it is, find it in Scripture. And most of the time, you'll find 5, 10, if not 100 Scriptures in some way, shape, or form speaking to that situation. This is why we read our Bibles every day. I need to know what the truth is. I need to know what my Bible says. And understand, this is God speaking to me, right? Hallelujah. Now I know what to believe. I know what to say and how to respond to this situation. Jesus, when he's out there in the wilderness tempted by Satan, he didn't say, hold on, devil. That's a new one. I'm not sure what to do. Let me go find my parchments. Let me go see. Did God have something to say about this? Ain't the time. Now, if that's where you're at, by all means, you know, go get your Bible. You know, at this point, I would say, you know, if you don't know, if you're unsure, call your pastor. Call someone else in the church. I need a faith buddy. I need someone to help me walk through this. This is what we're here for. Amen. This is what we're here for, to help each other walk through these things. Nobody's got it all. No one's got it all figured out. You know, and even if you do know all these things about the word, sometimes it's just good to hook up. I need three, somebody to help me walk this through the other side. Amen. And now when I get through the other side, I'll be better equipped to help somebody else who needs some help and help bring them along. That's the whole idea. Amen. This is one of the reasons why he says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves as you see the day coming or the return of the Lord. Amen. We need help from one another. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Give attention. Again, give attention means to lean into with intention to give the word my undivided focus. Now, here's another big key. Faith cannot be strong where the word is treated casually or optional, or has it come to that? I've tried all these other things. Well, let me see if God can do anything. That's not faith. Faith considers first the word, and faith holds fast to the word. Again, we looked at this last week, in the last couple of weeks, Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For those who come to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who will diligently seek him. Not casually, not 10 things down the list, and maybe I'll see what the word has to say, and maybe we'll... No, I'm diligently finding out first, what does God have to say about it? And whatever he says, I'm holding diligently fast to it. Again, Hebrews 10, hold fast to your confession of faith. It has great recompense of reward. Has God not said it? Will he surely not do it? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Say, the word is working mightily in me, for me, and through me. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Incline your ear. This is the word nauta. It means to be stretched out, to spread, to incline, or to turn towards. Or it also would mean to tune in. So again, we have digital radio stations now, but in days gone by, I think we all can remember, you know, you had AM, FM, you had to tune in between stations. You would have static, but you would just kind of keep turning that dial. And if you're a little far away, you had to really, really fine tune to try to bring it in clear. That's the idea. I'm having to adjust me to tune in to God's voice. I'm having to adjust things in my lifestyle. I'm having to get rid of the static. I'm having to get rid of the noise, lay aside those things. Again, it may not be sinful to have these things in my life, but it can be ungodly distractions that are hindering me from tuning in to the voice of the Lord, right? And I need to be clear to hear. I don't need to have confusion. I don't need to have, you know, those in my life talking fear, doubt, unbelief, sickness, and disease. I need to maybe think about separating fellowship, you know, so that I can tune in to those who are going to be speaking faith. Now, I can't say that I can't go and minister to you, but I can't just hang around you all day and allow these things to pollute my spirit. And today, this would have more to do with your radio, with your TV, with your phones, through social media, these sorts of things. What am I allowing to come in all day long, right? Be very watchful about what we're allowing in, because this is going to cause distractions and this is going to be hard to really tune in. I need to tune out those things and I need to lean into God's voice. Hallelujah to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Aha. Yes. Hallelujah. Faith takes on a posture of intentional listening and turns away from competing voices, right? Faith grows where the Word of God becomes the loudest voice in your life. The Word of God ought to be coming out over a loud speaker, crystal clear. You know, I got 1,000 watts back here just ringing in my ear. The Word, the Word, the Word. What about this? What about that? It's written. I know exactly. It's right on the tip of my tongue when something comes up. I've been spending time with God. I've been tuned in with God. And when something comes up, no, that ain't right. That's not my covenant. That's not who I am. Get behind me, Satan. Away from here. I know better. I know better. I know better. And I have something to say about that. And so I'm going to say it, and you need to go. And he has to. Again, James 4:7, submit to God, submit to the Word. Number two, resist the devil. It's written, get out. Step number three says, he will flee from you. He cannot stand. You have authority over the devil. You have to open your mouth and use it. But you can't use it if you don't know it. It's one thing to say, I know I have authority. But you cannot exercise authority where faith is small and ignorant. You have to know that you know that you know this is mine, this is how it is, and this is how it's going to be. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. We're getting free. We're coming up. We're learning how to walk in victory. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Let what? The Word. Now, here's a principle. Whatever you continually look at, feed upon, allow into your eyes, into your ears, will affect what you really believe in your heart. And what you really believe in your heart will come out of your mouth, and what comes out of your mouth is what you're really going to have. So again, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak, right? You are today the culmination of all the words you have spoken in your yesterdays. Where did those words come from? How you were raised, where you were raised, who was speaking into your life, what was speaking into your life. All of these things make up who you are today. Your words. All those things that influenced you really was all about influencing your words. What were you saying? Or where were you silent and should have been saying? Passively, people have allowed a lot of things to just enter into their lives, and they never resisted them. Even though they're children of God and they have all this victory that belongs to them, they have remained silent because they didn't even know. Do not let the Word depart from your eyes. The Word must prevail in your heart by becoming the dominant image that you meditate on. Again, the Word is designed to produce an image. an inner image of the real you. So again, you should have an image of righteousness. You should have an image of perfect peace. You should have an image of healed and whole and blessed and free in every way. The word produces an image, right? I don't want to spend too much time on that, but we get the idea. He says, number four, keep them in the midst of your heart. Keep the word in the midst or at the center of your heart, or keep the word at the core of your being. So again, the heart or the spirit of man is the production center of faith. Everything's going to come up out of your heart. Again, whatever's in your heart is going to come out of your mouth. And faith is going to, at that point, not faith was produced in the heart, but it's released out of the mouth. And when it's released, it's going somewhere to happen. Positive or negative, it's going somewhere to happen. Again, whatever fills the heart will eventually fill the mouth. A word-filled heart will produce a word-filled life. It's a progressive thing. It's always a progressive thing. I've got to get the word in, put 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 the word in, and the word I'm putting in will be coming out of my mouth. Now, there's times I'm going to be released and on purpose. But even just in regular conversation, if all I'm putting in and putting in is the word, well, what's going to come out? The word. Even when I'm unconsciously saying things or when something happens, it just rises up out of my spirit, man, bypasses my head, and you start speaking. And you think about it later on, it's, oh, yeah, my head will catch up to what my mouth just said. But I'm putting the word in because I know if I put the word in, I'm going to be speaking the word out and I'm going to get word results. That's how Jesus functioned. I only say what I hear Father say. I only do what I see Father do. Jesus got 100% results because he stayed with God. He stayed with the word 100% of the time. Again, it didn't work because it's Jesus. It worked because he stayed with the word and the word only. Amen. That's an example for us. Thank you, Jesus. Faith begins with receiving the word, hearing it, honoring it, and giving it first place. Thank you, Jesus. So again, we're to hear the word, we're to honor the word, and give it first place. Number two, the word must dwell in you. Amen. Say, the word is dwelling in me. Amen. Receiving the word is the starting point, but for faith to grow strong, how many want to have strong faith? who wants to walk in mountain moving faith? Hallelujah. Then the word must move from visitation to habitation. I'm not just here to visit, in the morning for a little bit with the word. No, I'm to abide in the word. All day, every day, I filter everything through the word. I'm thinking the word. I'm talking the word. I'm speaking the word, 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 word. And I want people around me who are going to speak the word and talk the word into my life. I need faith buddies. I need word buddies. Amen. To come alongside. Thank you, Jesus. The word says in Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell or abide in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Now, first thing I notice here in this scripture is let. You and I are the object of this sentence. Let it. You got to let it. I choose what I allow into my heart, into my mind, into my eyes. He says, now let it. You have to let it, let the word of Christ dwell. That word dwell is the word in oikeo. It means to take up residence. So again, this isn't just a visitation. We're going to stop by in the morning for a few minutes, have a cup of coffee, and be on our way for the day. I'll see you tomorrow. No, this is to take up residence, to make itself at home, to inhabit. Let the word of Christ inhabit. Who's going to let it? You and I. Inhabit, to live in, to be in constant, intimate fellowship. We're to live in constant, intimate fellowship with the Word of God. Again, this is not just letters on a page, words in a book. This is my Father God speaking to me. Every time you read a word, even as I'm reading this scripture to us, this is God speaking to you. This is God speaking to you. He loves you. He wants to get the truth to you so you can be blessed by it. So again, the word is not meant to be a visitor. It is meant to be the ruling authority, the permanent resident in our hearts, which governs our thoughts, our decisions, and our responses. So again, if I can dwell in the word richly, again, that's going to govern what's coming out of my heart, whatever's coming out of my mouth, and it's going to determine those outcomes. Thank you, Lord. This word richly is the word plousios, which means richly or abundantly or overflowing. Overflowing. This comes back to the idea of when I'm encountered a situation, again, I'm not having to go hunt. Well, what does it say? Is this covered? Is this in there? How should I think about this? No, it's this point of overflowing. So again, when Jesus is in the wilderness, it just overflowed. I know exactly how to respond to this situation. I've spent so much time with my Father in His Word. I have seen this and I have seen this and I am rock solid in my belief and understanding of my covenant. And no, this does not belong to me. Satan, you're not going to tempt me. Get out of here in Jesus' name. Amen. This is that word that overflows me. Glory to God. Now, you are where we are. You know, maybe we're just getting started in our walk of faith. Well, you know, but this is the goal. This is the goal. We're to walk and to walk and to walk till it comes to that place in every area of our life, not just one or two, but in every area of our lives. Overflowing. This, again, plousios, richly, abundantly, overflowing. Thinking about this, a word poor believer. It will always be a faith-poor believer. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Well, if I don't have the word, I can't have faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. So again, the God kind of faith will always require a life that is saturated with Scripture, that is overflowing with revelation, wisdom, and spiritual understanding. Anybody can do it. Anybody can get there. You and I choose to let it, it'll come to the place where it is overflowing. I didn't become pastor, you know, and all of a sudden just have all this flowing in me. No, I've spent my walk with the Lord as a student of the Word, reading and studying and reading and studying, right? You know, I've spent, what is, you know, over 10 years in full-time ministry now. But over all these times, not just on the ministry side, but for my personal side, I've got to spend time and spend time and spend time. And right now, if you walk up and squeeze me, word's going to come out. Why? I've been putting the word in for a long time. I've been putting the word in and putting the word in. But, you know, in some sense, I still feel like a baby spiritually, because that's the thing. It's like, the word is so vast. The word is so deep. We're never going to plumb the depths of it, and yet deep calls unto deep. And so it's like the more that I've seen, the more that I know, the more I realize how much I haven't seen and how much I don't know. Not that there's necessarily new revelation, but there are depths of revelation, right? You know, we're not waking up tomorrow and found that, you know, well, you know, we need to be doing something totally different than what we've learned all our life. No, that's not that. But there are depths of understanding to this. Amen. There's always more. And we're never going to plumb the depths of God, but I'm having fun trying. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. That's my daddy. And we're finding out more and more about the love of God. That's so awesome. Because when you see these things, when you get a greater degree of revelation, what really expands is the knowledge of love himself. God, you love this much. Look at what you've done for me. Look at all this. How wonderful. How awesome is that? Thank you, Lord. The word needs to be more than a memory. Again, it's good to memorize Scripture, but I'm not just memorizing Scripture for Scripture's sake. I'm allowing the word to dwell in me richly so that I can be transformed. Again, Romans 12:2 says we're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Absolute knowledge. I know exactly what is the good and perfect and excellent, so that we may prove that has come to know with absolute acceptable will of God in my life. He says, I'm renewing my mind, so I'm going to know that I know that I know that's truth. And in a sense, that's truth, that's mine. Again, Jesus said in John 8:32, you will know the truth. And when you come to know, have revelation knowledge, this belongs to me, that's mine. He says, you'll know it. He says, and that truth will set you free. Again, that's the word. The truth is the word. He says, this word, this truth will set you free. That's what the word is designed to do in whatever area that is. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Faith grows where the word dwells richly, shaping our thoughts, governing our decisions, and transforming us from the inside out. And then my final point here, the word must be spoken and acted upon. Again, speaking the word is acting on the word. But there's times when I don't just need to say it, I need to have corresponding action in some way with it. Again, if I really believe this, if I really have revelation knowledge concerning this, this isn't just going to be an idle confession. It's going to be something I'm putting feet to it. I'm putting action behind it, whatever that is. So again, faith is not complete until the word moves from your heart up out of your mouth with also corresponding actions. The word tells us in Joshua 1:8, this book of the law, which we would define as the word of God, shall not depart from your mouth. He says, it shall not depart. It shall not depart. He says, in one sense, yeah, you're going to speak it, but he says, there's nothing else that's going to needs to be coming out of your mouth but the word. Whatever the word says about a situation, that's what you need to be saying about it. The word shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night that you may observe to do. That you got to observe it, that you might do it. Not just a hearer of it, but a doer of it according to all. Now there's something according to all that's written in it. So again, we're not having selective hearing. The word of God, you know, is not a buffet. Well, I know daddy said this and daddy said that. Well, I just, that's uncomfortable. I just don't know if I want to get out and be a witness. I don't know. Tithing, hell, yeah. It's not a good time right now. See me next week. You know, whatever those things are in the word, this is not a buffet part of it. Amen. So I'm either going to honor God with all of it, or I'm going to not honor God with part of it. Amen or oh me. All of it. Those who honor me, he says, I will honor. But I can't honor is not honor unless I'm walking in all that I see and know. So as we come to the word and we have a revelation about something, we need to honor that. Right? God's going to hold us responsible for what we know. Right? Thank you, Lord. Again, it's in here because he wants to bless you. So again, you may not understand or see, you know, well, if I do this, I just don't see how that could turn out. Well, you need this more mind renewal, but by faith, understand that God is good and God is love. And if he puts something in there, it's for your benefit. It's for your blessing. It's for your protection. Now, by faith, if you'll press into that and ask him for more revelation about it, he'll lead you to his word. Holy Spirit will be there to lead you and guide you into all truth and help you to understand this better. At some point, though, you're not going to understand everything and you're just going to have to take it by faith. Well, God is good. I trust in his character. I trust in his goodness. And if you said it, it's because you got something good in mind. Amen. It's going to turn out all right. He says, observe to do according to all that's written in it. For then, that's a qualifier, for then, only if and until. He says, then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. People want to have the good success. They want to have the answer to prayer doing it their way. and then call pastor over the years. You know, they call. I want God to bless my deal. I want God, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, and I want God to bless it. God's not obligated to bless your plan. His plan is already blessed. If you will just simply seek the wisdom of God and find out what that is, the blessing's baked into it. Right? The right spouse, the blessing's already baked into that. Whatever it is, the right job, the right church, whatever it is, the blessing, your wealthy place, your place of peace, your place of rest is all baked into that. Proverbs 16:3 says, there's many thoughts, there's many plans in a man's mind, but the purpose of the Lord, that's what's going to stand. You can spend all your life, you know, working over here and doing this and that and asking God to bless it. That's a waste of time. That's futility. And here's the thing. Even if I'm in the right place at the right time, but I did it seeking my own way instead of seeking God's way, there's not reward for that. There's no faith in that. God honors faith. God honors faith. Now, thank you, Lord. The word shall not depart from your mouth. Again, the word must be spoken continually. The faith is voice activated. Again, you've got to say to this mountain, be removed, be cast out, don't come back. Right? So what you speak consistently becomes what you will believe deeply. So again, part of meditation is to confess or to mutter. To meditate also means to mutter or to murmur. By his stripes, I'm healed. By his stripes, I'm healed. Thank you, Lord. By his stripes, I'm healed. This feels in the natural, my natural body is letting me know this feels or that feels or this feels. But by his stripes, I'm healed. By his stripes, I'm healed. I'm meditating on that. I'm allowing the image of the Word of God to override what I'm experiencing in the natural. Till the Word of God becomes the loudest voice in my life. I'm allowing this inner image of the Word of God to grow and to be fully developed, and it'll become a revelation to you, not head knowledge. There's a very big difference. When you first read Scripture, a lot of times it will be information to your head. It has not yet become revelation to your heart. But meditate on it. Meditate on it. See yourself the way God sees you through the Word of God. Faith, what is happening? Faith is coming. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing by the Word of God. I'm allowing the washing of the water of the Word to filter out all of the unbelief, all the fear, all the doubt, so that all that remains is the faith of God. Again, Mark 11:22, have faith in God. Jesus, Mark 9:23, all things are possible to him who believes. What am I doing? I'm allowing the Word to filter out all the unbelief so that all that remains is faith in God. Thank you, Lord. This word, again, meditate is the word doggo. It means to meditate, to murmur, to ponder, to rehearse, to speak under your breath all day long. All day long. So again, especially in the area where I have a need or a situation, or I'm believing God for this thing or that thing, I'm spending special attention to some scriptures, to some things, and I'm just meditating on it all day long. Thank you, Lord, for meeting all of my needs. Thank you, Lord, for providing for the church. Thank you, Lord, for healing of my family. And again, I'm just meditating on it. I'm just speaking it out. And I'm allowing the Word to dwell in me richly, and it's rising, it's rising. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I'm allowing this to become revelation to my life. He says, for then, I'm going to have good success. Then I'm going to flow in the blessing of the Lord. I'm going to live as a son of God. This is all about learning to live as the sons of God. Jesus, again, he was Son of God. He was master example, but the Bible tells us he's the firstborn of us. We're all the sons of God. In the spirit, you know, we're all sons.